companies, investors who integrate ESG are not simply ticking boxes. They're proactively identifying and mitigating risks that could otherwise lead to costly problems in the future. And so in the longer term, I believe economic drivers will sustain the need for ESG. Regardless of the political sentiments out there, climate change will remain a significant issue, and that will definitely impact company bottom lines going forward.
Hello, and welcome to The Green Away. I'm Jamie Williamson, Managing Editor of Financial Standard, and your host for today. Today, we're coming to you with what always proves to be a popular topic of discussion, the current state of the job market for sustainability and ESG professionals, and of course, more importantly, salaries. Now, we're sitting roughly around the midway point of Q2, and we know that overall Australia's job market is relatively robust, but we are seeing signs of a potential shift. Unemployment remains low, but did rise slightly in March, and new job creation isn't as strong as we'd perhaps like. That said, different sectors often tell different stories, and so with me now to talk us through the outlook for the sustainability sector is specialist ESG and responsible investment recruiter Simon Gavalda of Kaizen Recruitment. Simon, welcome to The Green Away.
Thanks so much, Jamie. Thanks for having me on the podcast again. It's great to be here.
So Simon, to kick things off, we know that recruitment for roles in the broader ESG space has been booming for some time. Can you maybe set the scene a little bit for us and tell us how the jobs market for ESG professionals has evolved in recent years?
There has been a lot of constant change, as many people would know, happening over the last few years. ESG is a very multifaceted market, and there are some areas that have slowed down and other areas that have had very slight growth at this stage. Generally, across ESG within the financial services space, recruitment has slowed down from the previous highs of the last few years. The way I would describe the market currently is flat. And what I mean by that is there aren't many new roles being created currently. However, businesses are still replacing positions when employees leave. We have seen a steady flow of roles into the ESG consulting side of ESG as businesses are grappling with the need to implement capability to comply the new stage rollout of the mandatory climate reporting requirements. And I believe over time, this will likely transition to a greater demand for in-house roles in that space as businesses look to reduce consulting spend once they have systems established.
You kind of touched on it there a little bit, but I mean, there's no secret that there's a skills shortage in certain areas of the sector. If I were a candidate in the market for a new role, are there certain areas that you might recommend that I upskill in? Like, what are the key skill sets or areas of expertise that employers are commonly looking for right now?
So we've actually just recently completed a salary survey, which we're going to be releasing in the coming weeks. But the top skills and that are in demand across financial services currently within ESG are ESG integration, reporting skills, which makes a lot of sense given the mandatory climate reporting, due diligence capability, and particularly at the more senior end, strategy. There are also some more emerging skill sets such as investment stewardship, data analysis, and carbon accounting skills, but there's also other more niche skills coming up through different roles. Follow roles within particularly superannuation and funds management space, strong understanding of the investments space remains critical. And there's definitely been an increase in demand for private markets knowledge as investors look to further ways to tap into the sort of sustainable investments outside of just the public markets currently.
There's been a bit of a shift in sentiment when it comes to ESG. How has demand for these kind of professionals been impacted by that? And is it in some ways creating an employer's market at all?
At the moment, I haven't seen a real direct impact of like sort of anti-ESG sentiment across the Australian market currently, but I do feel that the market, as I mentioned, has been a bit flatter than it has been previously. I feel like this may be an indication of the flow-on effects from particularly global tensions and the pushback regarding ESG issues across the globe. Things are obviously changing quite rapidly, and we may see further impacts down the track, but at the moment, we haven't seen a major impact in the market at this stage.
Okay, that's good to hear. Have you observed a shift though, maybe on the reverse side, have you observed a shift in attitude at all from candidates in terms of being in the ESG field? Like, are there concerns around longevity of ESG priorities and therefore maybe roles and concerns that they might be impacted if they're is a further desire to kind of pull back on sustainability initiatives?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't seen a major shift in attitude from ESG candidates currently. I found a lot of those that work in the ESG field are very driven by a passion, particularly to achieve positive real-world outcomes. So regardless of what's happening in the geopolitical space or globally, there's always going to be these passionate ESG professionals ready to tackle like these difficult, critical, crucial issues, particularly across the ESG space. So even with possible future changes in the ESG industry, I'm still seeing a lot of interest from candidates, particularly the junior end still, who are looking to move into the industry to have that ability to create positive, as I mentioned, real world change and outcomes across the industry.
You kind of touched on it just then in terms of being it from the candidate's perspective, but I guess coming at that as well from the employer's perspective now, what do you make of the outlook for hiring to ESG or ESG adjacent roles in 2025 and beyond?
Yeah, it's always hard to know exactly where it will land. The industry is continuing to evolve rapidly, making it very difficult to predict with certainty what the landscape will look like through the remainder of 2025 and even beyond that. By the time this is published, the results of the Australian federal election should be known, I imagine. And depending on the outcome, we could see either renewed momentum or potentially greater hesitancy around tackling ESG issues going forward. At the end of the day, ESG represents good risk management. Companies and investors who integrate ESG are not simply ticking boxes. They're proactively identifying and mitigating risks that could otherwise lead to costly problems in the future. And so in the longer term, I believe economic drivers will sustain the need for ESG. Regardless of the political sentiments out there, climate change will remain a significant issue, and that will definitely impact company bottom lines going forward, and particularly access to things like insurance. At this stage, it is hard to know exactly where things may land for the rest of 2025 and beyond, but there definitely will be further developments happening in the space going forward.
On to the stuff that I think everyone wants to hear about, Simon. You mentioned you've recently wrapped up Kaizen's annual ESG salary survey. What's the outlook for salary? What were some of the big takeaways and how has it shifted in recent times?
Yeah, no, it's. I'm sure a lot of people are very interested in finding out where salaries are at and if they're paid fairly in the market. Really, over the last 5 years, the ESG salaries have risen quite significantly in response to very high demand. However, our latest salary survey has shown that this growth has really plateaued. I believe this is largely due to probably an increase in the supply of candidates with ESG experience coming onto the market, but also coupled with a bit of a pullback in demand from employers, which has led to more of a balanced market, I would suggest, at this stage. One of the areas that's still growing is still offering very strong salary packages is the superannuation funds. They very much have a vested interest in aligning their investments with members' expectations for sustainability and in mitigating long-term risks like climate change. And therefore, that means that they put a lot of value into making sure they're getting the right people. I guess in summary, to sort of wrap that up, while the ESG jobs market has leveled off in comparison to sort of more recent years, there's definitely long-term demand that remains underpinned by very much regulatory drivers and the recognition of risks that ESG issues pose if they are left unaddressed longer term. So I do think there's, you know, it's not the end of ESG roles at this stage for sure.
Just finally, if a candidate, you know, is negotiating a new role, if the money isn't all that they kind of hoped it would be, what are some of the other benefits that you've seen popping up in packages lately? What are some tips that you might give to some prospective candidates in negotiating for that role?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think very pertinent for this space at the moment, given things that have plateaued a bit. As I noted sort of previously, we do have a salary guide coming out soon. So this will provide more details about potential additional benefits employees were able to achieve, bonus potential, and what people have received in the last 12 months, particularly across the financial services industry. One of the things I have seen from our survey is that 43% of our survey respondents have actually have access to additional leave as a benefit, which I think is very attractive for candidates. Most of this, I think, comes under leave that's either gifted, so just pure straight, you know, beneficial annual leave alike, or potentially could be the ability to purchase additional leave from their employer. Just to sort of touch more on the salary piece and around your question on negotiating. So I'd say when candidates are negotiating on salary, it's very good to be clear on what your motivations are for moving roles. Is it just for salary increase, or are there other factors that are potentially pushing you to look for another role? At the moment, the top reasons that people are considering a role change are, the biggest one is career development, then followed very closely by salary increases. And also the leadership team and culture are playing a very big part, which could be also important to know for employers to maintain your current employees in your business. As a recruiter, look, I would generally advise candidates that if they're looking to negotiate on salary, to have a range in mind as to what you want to achieve. I have found that depending on the seniority of the role, especially if you're at the junior level, if you're negotiating too hard or for too long, it can come across somewhat negatively, with employees getting a bit concerned about the motivations and potential commitment of the person for the role. I would highly recommend that you think deeply about what your motivation is for moving. If it's not just about salary, how much of a salary increase would you potentially forego to get the right role, to get, you know, better culture, to get better career opportunity and advancement? Interviews are definitely a two-way street. So you want to make sure that you're asking the right questions throughout the interview process to understand more about the role, the firm. Make sure that you come away with no regrets when accepting a new position, because you have asked all the right questions to really delve deep into what you're looking for, and making sure that you're getting the right opportunity for yourself that will advance your career in the way that you want it to go. And you got to remember, employees, you know, want potential employees to be happy and excited when they join their business. They want people to come on. Yeah, we have seen sometimes where businesses will go over and above and even the salary expectations of the candidates, which is always a nice surprise, but doesn't always happen. But, you know, but people definitely want to see people come on and be happy and excited to join the business. So, yeah, like I said, it definitely goes both ways. So, and it's exciting, but, you know, it can be a nerve-wracking time for candidates. So you want to make sure you're making the right decision.
Well, Simon, some great tips there, and you've provided some great food for thought as well. I'm sure anyone listening who might be considering making a change is coming away from this discussion feeling much more empowered and informed. So thank you so much for joining us today.
No, my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and looking forward to hopefully the next one.
And thank you for tuning in today as well. We look forward to having you with us next time on The Green Away.
The Green Away podcast is a product of FS Sustainability. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement, and if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.